Daniel chapter number 2, let's begin reading at verse number 19. The Bible says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." I want to draw your attention to verse number 21 of Daniel chapter 2 and encourage you to notate an expression that we find in this verse, and it's the expression, "He changeth the times and the seasons." He changeth the times and the seasons. This morning I want to speak to you on the topic of change. As I think about our graduates, I cannot get away from the thought of change. In my life, that was the first time that I ever remember experiencing a massive change. And life up to that point in my life and in most of our lives before we graduated was very structured. We went everywhere and did everything that we did under the guidance of our parents or our guardians, those who were over us. And we enjoyed a certain comfort to that routine. We were with the same friends that we had had since we were in elementary school. We grew up. We knew where they lived. We knew certain things about them. So much about our life was fulfilled in structure and comfort. But now all those things are going to be different. You'll be met with new challenges. You'll be met with new relationships. You'll be met with new obstacles. The truth is, change is not something that's limited to those who are graduating from high school or those who are graduating from college. Change is something that all of us must deal with each and every day of our lives. And today, as we look in Daniel chapter 2, God uses Daniel to teach us several truths about change that I believe will be an encouragement to you. So with that being said, may God help us this morning as we note four things about change that we learn here in Daniel chapter number 2. The first thing I want you to make note of is this, the consistency of change. Notice first of all the consistency of change. It's been said that the only constant in life is change. And sometimes that is true. It seems like the only thing that stays the same is that everything is changing. However, as we think about the consistency of change, there's really two categories of change that I want you to think about this morning. The first one deals with what I call little changes. Little changes. People say all the time, well, I just don't like change, or you know so-and-so, they don't like change. But the truth is, we deal with change every single day. And it doesn't seem to bother us. I'll give you an example of some little changes that happen to each one of us every day. Time is something that changes every day. Time has been changing since you walked into this service this morning. It's been changing since the beginning of this service. And it doesn't have any one of us up in a tizzy, does it? Well, maybe a few of us in a tizzy. But the reality is this, time is always changing. It never stops. Our bodies are always changing. Throughout the day, your body is changing. Your body today, at this very moment, is different than when you woke up this morning. Your weight changes throughout the day. Have you ever got on the scale early in the morning and thought, man, I am looking pretty good? And then got on the scale that night and thought, what happened? You wake up in encouragement and go to sleep in depression. Our temperature changes in our bodies all throughout the day. You go stand outside in the heat of the summer, and I promise you, your temperature will rise. Our hormones change throughout the day. Our heart rate changes throughout the day. If we were to go and run a lap around the building, our heart rate would be greater at the end of that lap, and some of us may need oxygen, but at the end of that lap, our heart rate would be greater than when we started. Our body experiences change all the time. The weather is always changing. Every single day, all of us deal with little changes. And those little changes don't seem to bother us and affect us nearly as much as the other kind of change, and that is what I call life changes. Life changes. Even though the little changes are very easily dealt with, life changes, on the other hand, are not so easily accepted. A definition I read of life change is this: an event experienced by a person altering his or her life or circumstance in a substantial way. Life changes may go under the category of where we live, changing our geographical location where we live, or changing houses can be a life change. Getting married is a life change. Getting a new job is a life change. Becoming a parent or a grandparent is a life change. Graduating from high school or graduating from college is a life change. And even though life changes don't happen as frequently as the little changes that we were talking about, there is still consistently throughout your life, you're going to experience life changes. They still happen. So whether big or small, one thing that we learn about change is that change is consistent all throughout our life. Well, let's notice the second thing about change. The second thing we see is what I call the controller of change. The controller of change. Now we look back into Daniel chapter number 2, and Daniel in verse 21 reminds us that God is the controller of change. Notice what it says in verse 21. It says, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and to the knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." When we look at what Daniel tells us, he reminds us that in the midst of a life that is filled with constant change, that God is the controller of change. And when he says here in verse 21 that he changes the times and the seasons, he's not just talking about that he makes sure that it at the end of the summer that the next season is fall, and at the end of the fall the next season is winter and then spring. It's talking more about that. He's saying specifically in our lives, the glad seasons, the sad seasons, the encouraging seasons, the difficult seasons, God is a part of all of those things. And what he is reminding us in this verse is simply that God is in control. God is in control. Sometimes we look at the world and it doesn't seem as though he's in control, but God is in control. Let me share a verse of scripture with you. It's one of my favorite verses. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says this. It says, "For by him were what? All things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before what? All things, and by him what? All things consist." Now, either we believe the Bible or we don't. And if we do believe the Bible, when it says that he is before all things and by him all things consist, that all things is an encompassing statement. I used to tell our Sunday school class, all means all. And all does mean all. It doesn't mean that God's in the good things, but God's not in the bad things. It means that it is all before him. He created it all, and he is before all things, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The word consist that's used there comes from the Greek word synestimi, and it literally means to place together or to unite parts into one. So, in essence, what he is saying here in this verse, Paul tells the church at Colossae that God is before all things, and that all the things in your life, whether they're good, bad, big, or small, God is before all of those things, and that he is working all of those things, placing them together to create one big thing. That tells us that every change in your life may not have been of God, meaning God may not have led you to make a sinful choice or to make a sin, do a sinful change in your life. They may not all be of God, but they all were permitted by God. There is nothing in this world that happens without God permitting it. And that's the rub that comes with us as Christians. We think, God, how is it that you could love me and still permit this into my life? God, how is it that you say that you're my provider, but yet you permit me to feel like that there is no provision? God, how is it that you allowed or permitted this thing to come into my life? Well, here's the thing you have to remember. If he permitted it into your life, then he will work it out for your good and for his glory. Let me share another familiar passage of scripture. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that what? All things." We know that what? That's still pretty weak. We know that what? "Work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now look, what that means is that circumstance or that situation in your life that is absolutely driving you crazy that you can't understand, that means that somehow, if it is in your life, God has permitted it there, and it somehow works as to part of His plan that He is trying to work, and that He is going to use that circumstance to strengthen you and to help you, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. God's not trying to harm you. God's not trying to hurt you. God's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to accomplish His will in your life. And as we think about change, we not only need to understand that change is consistent, but we need to understand that change is controlled by the Lord, and nothing comes into our life that God does not permit. So let's notice the third thing about change very quickly. The third thing I want you to see this morning is the chance of change. The chance of change. And there's two things specifically I want to point out about the chance of change. The first one is the opportunity of change. The opportunity of change. Change brings with it a chance. Not a guarantee, but it brings with it a chance for things to be better than they were. And it gives us a chance to be greater than what we are. Notice what Daniel says here in chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "And he changes the times and the seasons." But notice this next expression. "He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." The Bible says that He removeth kings and setteth up kings. If you're in a bad situation this morning, that bad situation can't become a good situation without what? Without some change. Change brings with it a chance at something better. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm in a good situation this morning." Well, you know what? Your good situation can't become a great situation without some change taking place. Change is an opportunity. It's a chance. We need to see change as an opportunity and not an obstacle. When change comes into our life, we need to understand that it could be that instead of somebody trying to make us worse, trying to make us miserable, it could be that the change is something that God has permitted to make us better, to make us greater than what we are. Change is a chance. It's an opportunity for things to be better. But we not only see the chance of change and the opportunity, but secondly, we see something we're more familiar with, and that's the opposition to change. The opposition to change. Even though change is a chance for things to be better, it's a chance for things to be wonderful. People typically do not like change. They don't like it. They don't like something being different. And so you ask yourself, what is it that makes people resist and hate change? Well, there's lots of different things. One, it makes people uncomfortable. And we're creatures of habit because we like comfort. We like to know what we're going to expect. It messes up our routine. People get really touchy when you start messing up their routine. Another thing is sometimes it's preference. "Well, I just like it this way. I don't really have a reason. I just like it this way. And to change it just ticks me off. I just don't like it this way." People have an opposition to change. But what is the true root? What is the true burr in the saddle, rock in the shoe that bothers people about change? I want to share with you what I think it is. I believe it's what I call the fear of the unknown. The thing that drives people crazy and makes them resist and fight like a Spartan against change is the fear of the unknown. This past Thursday morning in our Savvy Survivors Bible study, and I hope that if you're a senior, if you're not a senior, you're welcome to come on Thursday morning. If you're free, come join us for our Savvy Survivors Bible study at 10 o'clock. We have a great time. We'll go out for lunch. But in our Savvy Survivors Bible study this week, we talked about fear and how fear affects us, and fear can cause us to do things and to act abnormally. And fear does that. Fear drives us to act in ways that are outside of our normal character. People like things the way they are because they're comfortable. They know exactly what to expect. And when something is new or it changes, they lose all of that comfort. They lose all of that peace of mind. And they resist out of fear. But wait a minute. Daniel addresses this very thing in this passage of Scripture. Notice what he says in verse 22. He says, he revealeth the deep and secret things. Don't miss this. He knoweth what is in the darkness. What did Daniel just tell us? He says, when change comes, he said, you and I don't have to fear because the Lord knows what's in the darkness. The Lord is able to see all the things that you can't see. The Lord is able to know what the change is going to bring. You may not know the way, you may not know the pathway, but God does. And that should bring peace of mind. God knows what's in the darkness. Daniel says, God's already there. You can't see it yet, but He's already there. God is there, and what awaits in the darkness, what change is there that may be unknown to you is not unknown to Him. He knows what is there, and because of that, you and I can be comforted. But notice what else He says in verse 22. He not only says that He knoweth what is in the darkness, but at the end of the verse, He says, and the light dwelleth with Him. So here's what He's saying. He says, here you are and you're in your life and something changes. There's a major change in your life. And the reason you're resistant initially to that change is because you're afraid of what's going to be. You don't know what it's going to be. You don't know how it's going to be. You don't know whether the people are going to respond, whether they're not going to respond. Are they going to be friendly? Are they going to be mean? Is this going to be good? Is it going to be bad? All these things flood your mind because there's darkness there. You can't see. But Daniel says, wait a minute. God is already there. God knows what's in the darkness, but He not only knows what's in the darkness, He won't make you walk through that in darkness because He is the light. And He says, if you will stay with Him, that the light dwelleth with Him, and if you'll allow Him to walk before you and you will be willing to follow Him, then He will light the way. He will light the path and you'll never have to be in darkness because God will navigate the darkness for you and He will initially remove all of the fear that you have in your heart because He and His glorious light is lighting the way. You and I need to stop looking at change as an obstacle and we need to stop being opposed to it because unless we change, then we'll always be what we are. I shared with you a couple weeks ago a great quote from Coach John Wooden. He said, failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. The reality is God has so much more for your life than what we are right now. He has so much more for my life than what I am right now. But unless I'm willing to allow Him as a potter sits down at the clay and begin to add water and mold me and shape me and change me, I'll never be able to reach my full potential for what God has. You'll never be able to reach your full potential for what God has. And the end result is our church can never reach its full potential for what God desires us unless you and I are willing to embrace the fact that the change God is doing in our heart, the change that God is doing in our church may be for the better instead of for the worse. May God help us to see change as a potential opportunity instead of an obstacle. Well, let's notice one fourth and final thing and I'm through, and that's the comfort in change. The comfort in change. To me, the scariest thing about change is that change often happens without forewarning. Change can happen immediately. You can be driving down the road having the best day you've ever had in the history of your life and somebody crosses the double yellow line and that great day turns into a horrible day. Change sometimes happens instantaneously. We don't know when or where it's going to come. And in this world, change is constantly going on. My grandfather just turned 90 years old in February. Leading up to his birthday, I thought a lot about him. I've talked to him a lot about how he grew up and my great-grandfather was a farmer, also was a barber on the weekends, as a lot of people did in that day. Leased out land. My grandfather grew up and had lots of siblings, but it was kind of like two different groups of siblings. Some of his older siblings actually were like parents to them. But he remembers telling me about being in a house and that the wind would blow through the house and they'd all have to get under blankets and it was just there. And I've been to where he grew up and I thought about my grandfather having grown up in that situation and where he is now. He grew up when he was a little boy and the homes and the structures were so weak that the wind would blow through the boards, but now there's mansions everywhere. We gripe if the air condition's 2 or 3 degrees off. And if it's not warm enough, and they give me another blanket, and bring out this heater and that heater, and turn the TV up. I can't hear the TV. And man, the internet's not working. And here we've got cell phones and internet and technology. And I think, what must that be like for him? What that must be like for some of you? To go from technology being so in its infant stage to where it is now, progressing so steadily. That change brings with it, again, fear and unnervingness. But in the midst of that, there is a comfort. There's a comfort that spans all ages and all generations. And that is that God never changes. Let me share a word of Scripture with you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God tells us in the Old Testament, He says, "I change not." The book of Hebrews reiterates the same truth. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whether you're graduating today, or whether you're graduating high school, whether you're graduating college, whether you're just graduating on to the next stage in your life, the world will continue to change. It will always change, but our God will never change. The things that God loved in the beginning and that He blessed, He will always love and He will always bless. The things that God hated and loathed in the beginning, He will always hate and He will always loathe. The mores and the morals of society and the laws may change, but our God does not change. He is a fixed point of reference from which all of us can all go back to any point in time, no matter what the darkness, no matter how great the storm, we can always go back to God and we can go back to His Word and know that this is truth. And the truth will never change. If you want to know what is right, if you want to know what is wrong, open the book that says Holy Bible on the cover. Get into it, read its pages, learn of the great Savior that it portrays. Because this is something that will never change. And in a world that's ever changing, you and I can be comforted in the fact that our God never changes. Dr. Vance Havner is one of my favorite men to listen and read after. He says, "Nothing of real importance has ever changed. Hell's still hot, heaven's still sweet, and salvation's still free." You say, "Preacher, that's awful elementary." But you know what? When everything boils down to it, life is very simple. We complicate it with all of these things. And all of these things that you and I are worried about, they're going to vanish away. All these things that keep us up at night that we're worried about, they're all going to vanish away. And it all boils down to, what have we done with the Lord Jesus Christ? And today, as we think about change, I hope that you'll take these words that we learned from Daniel. Understand that change is consistent throughout life, but God is the controller of change. And you and I don't have to fear the darkness if we're following His great light. And no matter how much changes in this world, our God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer.